All right, so we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Mem Tes. We're picking up last three lines Mem Chesam. There's a lot to do today. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan. We'll say, remember again, the Mishnah quoted a story, or not a story. The Mishnah said that when the Kohen used to do the Nisach HaMayim, they would tell him, Hagbe'a Setecha, lift up your hands, in order to make sure that he wasn't a Tzeduki, who was spilling the water on the Mizbeach, as opposed to in the bowls. So the Gemara now here quotes actually another episode. Actually, we saw this in Yuma. Tana Rabbanan Maisa B'Tzeduki Echa Chenisich Agavi Raglav. There was once a story of a Tzeduki, a Sadducee, right? There were these individuals who did not believe in Hirush about that. Therefore, again, as much as Nisuch HaMayim is a Doraisa, it is a Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, which means that it's not explicit in the text. Because it's not explicit in the text, the Tzedukim did not believe in it. So the Gemara tells a story that there was one Tzeduki, Shenisech al Gabe Raglav. So what happens? He was doing the Nisach HaMayim, and sure enough, he poured the water on his feet. He did not want to pour the water in the bowl, because again, he was making a statement that he did not believe in this Avodah. And what happened? Urigamu kol ambasrogehem. And everybody threw their Esrogim at him. So they pelted him with their Esrogim. Now it's actually interesting, Rashi in his version over here, has it that they actually threw stones at him, not Esrogim. Now what's interesting is I don't know where you'd find stones if you were standing in the maybe Jews always carry stones with them. They're not exactly lying around on the floor of the Beis HaMikdash, but whatever it is, they threw stuff at him. And what happened? I'm sorry. There you go. So what happens? So the Osa Hayom. And I will say, as a result of the projectiles flying all over the Beis HaMikdash, the corner, literally the horn of the Mizbeach, was damaged. And I will say, this is a big problem, because if the horn of the Mizbeach is damaged, it will see in just a moment, it compromises the ability to use the Mizbeach. They have you bull shel melach. So what did they do? So apparently, the corner of the Mizbeach got chipped. So they brought literally a handful of salt, this sasmu, and they closed, they filled in the chipped part of the horn of the Mizbeach. So the Gemara says, Lo mipnei shehukshe la'avoda. Now understand, by going ahead and filling in that chipped area with salt, that does not make the Mizbeach kosher la'avoda. The Mizbeach is Mizbeach Havon. It has to be made out of stones. So in order to repair, in order to fill in that gap, or to fill in the hole, that which is chipped, you'd actually ultimately have to replace it with stone. So what did they accomplish by replacing it with salt? Element Mishlo Yir Mizbeach Pogum, top of Memtes. But rather, they just wanted to make sure that the Mizbeach would not look deficient. So apparently what they did is they filled it in with stone. For what purpose? For temporary aesthetics. Temporary aesthetics. Salt, just for temporary aesthetics, until they get a chance to actually repair it. Says the Gemara top of Memtes, Shakol Mizbeach She'en Lo Kevesh V'lo Keren V'lo Yisod V'lo Ribua Posel Avoda. Because any Mizbeach that does not have a ramp, does not have a Keren, does not have a horn. Horn, we'll say again, literally means that corner. Below Yisod does not have a base. Remember again, that base is, we spoke about this last week. That's the fact that the Mizbeach is not a straight edge, but rather again, it has multiple ledges. The Yisod is one of those ledges. Below Ribua, also the Mizbeach must be, Ribua literally means square. What it means over here in this context is right angles. So if the Mizbeach is missing any of these things, Pasul Avoda. Ultimately, again, you can't use it for Avoda. So Avoda said they would not be able to use the Mizbeach again until the Maisa, they repaired the corner, but at least with a fistful of salt, they were able to go ahead and restore the aesthetic value of the Mizbeach. So Gemara goes weiter. Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda Omer, Av HaSobev. Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda says, even the Sobev. Rabbi Yossi, again, Yisod and Sobev are two different ledges, right? So the Yisod, so again, remember, we spoke about this last week, how the Mizbeach has multiple ledges. So the Yisod is one of those ledges, the Sobev is another one of those ledges. So Rabbi Yehuda says, even the Sobev must be intact in order for the Mizbeach to function in a sacrificial capacity. Amra Barachana Amra Yochanan, Shisin Misheshi Simi Bereshis Nevro. So I remember again, going back to yesterday, so we spoke about this idea of they would pour the wine and the water into these bowls. And I mentioned to you yesterday, there's a machlokes Rashi Tosus about what happened to the liquid then. According to Rashi, the liquid drained from the bowls onto the Mizbeach. On the Mizbeach itself was another drain. The liquid would go down that drain and would go into the Shisin. The Shisin was some subterranean-like collection pool. some subterranean collection pool. So according to Tosas, however, what ended up happening was the go from the bowls directly into the shisin, the liquid would never drain onto the mizbeach itself. So without, it doesn't, for our purposes today, it doesn't really matter. What the Gemara is just suggesting is that the shisin were created during the 6 days of creation. So the shisin, this subterranean area, was already present. This was not something that was man-made. This was something that was there already from the beginning of time. The Gemara says, Shine Emar, because the Pasuk says, here the Gemara quotes the Pasuk from Shir HaShirim, Chamuke Yirecheich, literally the concealed flanks, Kimo Chaloim, are like jewels. Ma'ase Yidei Uman, they are the work of a craftsman. So the Gemara says, what does this mean? Chamuke Yirecheich, what does it mean, the concealed flanks? Elu HaShisin, this refers to the Shisin, this refers to the subterranean area. Kimo Chaloim, Shemichulolin the Yarden at the home. Like these, literally these chaloim means these open spaces that are hollow and go all the way down until the depths. Ma'aseh yidei uman, what does it mean that they are the work of a craftsman? Zu ma'aseh yidei umnaso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is nothing else other than the actual handiwork of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tana debei Rabbi Shmo, Bereishis. I was going to give another ra'ayah that the shisin are there for ma'aseh Bereishis. So what does it mean, Bereishis? Atikri Bereishis, Ella bara shis. Rather, what does Bereishis mean? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu created shis. Shis means what? The shisin. Okay. Tanya, Rabbi Yossi says, shisin mechulalin the yarden at the home. Rabbi Yossi says, the shisin literally are a hollow area that go down all the way until the depths. Rabbi Yossi, the Tahom represents the lowest depths of the inner core of the earth. So it goes all the way down to the Tahom. Shene Emar, Ashira no lididi, Shiras dodi likamo. So we'll say here the Gemara again, quotes a passage from Yeshayahu. Ashira no lididi, I will sing a song to my beloved. Shiras dodi likamo, bless you. A song of my beloved for his vineyard. Kerem haya lididi, my beloved had a vineyard. Bikaren ben Shemen, in the corner of a fertile field. Vayizakehu, he fenced it in. Vayisak lehu, he ultimately, de-stoned, I don't know if it's right, he removed the stones from it. Vayitaehu sorek, he planted it with vines. Vayivan migdal bisocho, he made a tower within it. Vigam yekev chatzav lo, and he planted vines within it as well. Planted vines within it as well. If you take a look at Rashi, vigam yekev chatzav lo, Rashi says, but also Migdal Yekov who bor chafer. He made actually Yekov in his context. It doesn't mean vine. Yekov means a pit. Literally, it would have been Yekov. Normally refers to a pit in which you stomp grapes. Stomp grapes. In this case, that's not what he's referring to. Here, Rashi says, but also Migdal Yekov who bor chafer. There was a pit in it. Vayikre Amelech. Fine. So what's the pshat in this pasuk? Vayitaehu sorek. What does it mean that Kadosh Baruch Hu planted vines? And sorek are the choicest vines, right? The best of vines. So what does that mean? Zeves Hamikdash. This refers to Zeves Hamikdash. Vayivan Migdal Bisocho. He built a tower within it. Ze Mizbeach. This refers to the altar. Vigam Yekev Chatzav Bo. And he also placed a pit within it. Elu HaShisin. This refers to the Shisin. Okay, so also the Gemara is darshaning homiletically this particular pasuk from Yeshayahu to again refer to the fact that the shisin were part of the original creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tanya, I'll just understand, why does the Gemara have to do this? What does it matter to us if the shisin were there from the beginning of Bereishis? So understand that what the Gemara is showing is that the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world is that what's amazing about God is the foresight. That, you know, when we do a project, so what ends up happening, virtually in every single project, you know, there's always some detail that I did not think about. It's just inevitable. It's the limitation of the expansiveness of human thinking. The greatness of the Ribono Shel Olam is there is never a detail that has left the chance. There's never a detail that's left out. Even something like the Shisim, which represents the subterranean collection point for the wine and the water of the Mizbeach, that was there from the beginning of creation. Such a small detail that the truth is, we could have figured out a way to create a drainage system as well, but the Ribono Shel Olam planted that within the world already from the beginning of creation. It's just another testament to the greatness of the Ribono Shel Olam. So the Gemara says the following, Amar Rabbi Elazar Bar Tzadok, Elazar Ratzalik says the following: Lul katan haya bein kevesh lemizbeach. There was a small lul. Lul means a hole, a crevice, an area that between the ramp and the mizbeach, b'ma'aravo shel kevesh, on literally on the western side of the kevesh, on the ramp. V'haya v'achas l'shivim shel. Listen to this. Once every 7 years, pirchei kohuna yardin l'sham u'melachti misham ma'yayin kosh. So we'll say, apparently again, according to Elazar bar Tzadok, so this lul, if you look at Rashi says, Aruba shihi lemala milamala lemata. So it's this area, this receptacle. Now, apparently, according to Elazar bar Tzadok, this lul was the drainage area. This was the area in which the wine and the water from the Mizbeach would drain into. So according to Elazar, what would happen? Once every 70 years, they had to clean out the lul. How would they clean out the lul? Pirchei kuhuna. Zach, you came on a good day. Pirchei kuhuna. Young Cohen, right? A young Cohen would go ahead and would reach into the drain. And what happened? Umilaktin misham yayin korosh. And he would pull out, I don't know if I want to do this or not, right? He would pull out all of the congealed wine. He would pull out all of the congealed wine. It's kadosh, it's a schus, don't say, right? Shadoma li'igulei tveila. The wine was so thick and was so congealed that it resembled a cake of pressed figs. Boim, the surfin osa b'kdusha. Now again, I will say what they would do is they would then take that congealed wine and they would burn it. They would burn it in a kadosh fashion, meaning they would burn it in the Beis Hamikdash. Shene emar bakodesh haseich, because the pasuk says bakodesh haseich nesech shecher laHashem. Literally, in the kodesh you will pour it. That's haseich means you will pour it. In the kodesh you will burn it. You will pour it nesech shecher laHashem. Literally, a pouring of the intoxicating beverage for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look at the last Rashi. Shene emar bakodesh haseich, hikish sreifa l'nisuch. I'm sorry, turn the page. Kishem shenisucho b'kdusha. Just as the pouring is done in a state of kedusha, meaning just like when the wine is originally poured, it's poured with kedusha. Kach sreifaso b'kdusha. So too, the burning must be done with kedusha. So now, we'll say, understand the reason why we're bringing this down over here. Now we'll get into a little bit of a subtopic, but understand we seem to have a little bit of a machlokas about how extensive those shisim were. So the shisim of the first, according to the first approach, literally these subterranean collection areas. Here, according to Belazar, really it's just this lul that is right by the corner of the mizbeach that literally the young kohanim would literally clean out by putting their arms down it and pulling out all of the congealed matter in there. But now the Gemara talks about the idea that when they pull out the congealed wine, they would have to burn it b'kiddusha. So the Gemara says the following: My mashma. Now, Rabbi said, what's interesting is the following. The Gemara just said that when they pull out the congealed wine, you have to burn it b'kiddusha. And how do you know that? Because the pasuk says b'kodesh, b'kodesh haseich nesek shechar laHashem. So the Gemara says, well, how does that pasuk of b'kodesh haseich nesek shechar laHashem prove that you have to burn the congealed wine b'kiddusha? So the Gemara says, my mashma. Amar Avina, I'm going to tell you how. Amar Avina, Asya Kodesh Kodesh. We make a Gzir Shava of Kodesh Kodesh. What is a Gzir Shava? Ksiv Hacha, it says over here, Bakodesh Haseich Nesach Shechar LaHashem. Rabbi Yossi, remember, that is the Pasuk by libations, by Nisachim. It says by Nisachim. Remember, Nisachim, let's say there's not really water. Remember, there's no water left in that hole. Why? Because B'Pashas, the water evaporates, or the water gets absorbed by the ground. There's only really the congealed wine. So the Gemara says, by the libations itself, it says that the libations have to be poured b'kiddusha, uksiv hasam, and it says there, v'sarafto es hanosar ba'ish, you shall burn nosar. And I'm also saying, what is nosar? Nosar is leftover karbanos, right? Karbanos passed their permitted window of consumption. And what does it say? You shall burn the nosar on the fire. Lo yochal, you may not eat them. Why? Ki kodeshu. Because it's kodesh. So I will say, what do you see from here? It says kodesh by nesachim. It says kodesh by nosar. And therefore what? Just like you have to burn nosar, so to what? You have to burn the congealed matter of the nesachim. Now again, the Gemara is not necessarily suggesting that the congealed wine has the status of nosar for reasons we'll discuss later on. What the Gemara is just saying is we find the Gzer Shavav Kodesh. And Kodesh teeth, just like nosar is burned, so too again the leftovers or the congealed matter of the Nesachim is also burned, is also disposed of in a Kadosh Dika fashion. So the Gemara says, Kiman Ozla Hodisanya, whose opinion is reflected in the following idea. Nesachim Betchila Malin Bahem. Rabosa, when you have a Nisafim, when you have libations, in the beginning, they are initially subject to the laws of Mi'ila. And I will say what that means, Betchila, what that means is the following. If I go ahead and I consecrate wine for a second for libation purposes, and I say, well, you know what, that was, I just consecrated 2007 Chateau, right? And so, it's a good one, right? So what happens? So now, again, I have a change of heart, and I go ahead and I decide to use it. That's Mila. Obviously, again, that's inappropriate. That's personal usage of consecrated property, which, of course, is Usur. However, again, Yardu L'Shisin, once the wine goes into the Shisin, which is another way of saying what? Once the wine was used for libation purposes, and now it goes down the drain, what's the halacha? Ein Molin Bahem. Halacha L'maaseh will say, once the wine is used in a sacrificial capacity, once you're done with it, it is no longer subject to Mi'ila. So the Gemara says something very interesting. So Lema, Rabbi Elazar Batzadik. Rabbi will say, here's what's interesting. So what are the Gemara just saying? Before you use it for, once you designate it for libation purposes, before you use it, it's subject to Mi'ila. But once it goes into the Shisin, it's not subject to Mi'ila. Rabbi will say, by saying once it goes into the Shisin, it's not subject to Mi'ila, that presupposes what? That somehow you'd be able to retrieve it from the Shisin. So the Gemara says, that only makes sense according to Rabbi Elazar Bar Tzadok. Why? Because we also say, what did Rabbi Elazar Bar Tzadok say? What was the Shisin? What was his opinion? He said the Shisin was that lul, was that drainage area right on the side of the Mizbeach, where the young Kohanim would go and they'd be able to stick their arm in there and get the stuff out. So according to Rabbi Elazar Bar Tzadok, in his version, the Shisin was still accessible. The Irabanon, Hanachtu Lahu Litahom. Rabbi said, according to the Rabbanon, where do the Shisim lead to? The Shisim lead to the very depths of the inner earth. So there's no way to retrieve it. So what would even be the discussion? The Rabbi says, no. Tilatima Rabbanon bidi iklot. So the Rabbi says, no, it could even be according to the opinion of the Rabbanon. Why? Rabbi said, what's the case? The case is, could be where you suspended a kli, you suspended a utensil within the Shisin. So let's say, again, if you set up a utensil, you set up a bucket within the Shisin that's positioned underneath the cavity of the Mizbeach. And so this way, when the wine comes through the Mizbeach, comes through the drain, you're catching it in a bucket. So I was just saying, technically speaking, Lemaisa, you'd be able to use that wine. You'd be able to use the wine because since it's already been used for a sacrificial purpose, it's not subject to Mi'ila. So the Gemara said, the Igida Ami, others say, and others, there's another version that perhaps this price of Dafka reflects the view of the Rabbanon, not Rabbi Elazar Bar Tzadok. Why? The Rabbi Elazar Bar Tzadok akati bikdusha saihu kaimi. Because the most according to Rabbi Elazar, what did Rabbi Elazar say that you have to do with the congealed wine when the young Kohanim go in and take it out of the drain? What do you have to do with it? You have to burn it. What does that show? That according to Rabbi Elazar, even after it's used for libation purposes, it's still what? It still has its kedusha and must. So the Gemara says, no. I feel Tim Rabbi Elazar ein lecha davar shenaase mitzvaso. Even Rabbi Elazar agrees that once an item has been used for its designated sacrificial purpose, it is no longer subject to the laws of Mi'ila. If that's the case, then why does Rabbi Elazar say you have to burn the congealed wine? And the answer to that is, because even though it's not subject to Mi'ila, you still must dispose of it in a bakavadik fashion. So if you were to go ahead and liquefy it and use it, you would not be subject to the laws of Mi'ila. But assuming you are not going to use it, assuming you're going to go ahead and dispose of it, it should be disposed in an appropriate fashion. Okay, so I'll say what's interesting, by the way, according to this, is that L'maisi, it would appear that everyone subscribes to this concept. Well, again, this is a more major machlokas, but both the Rabbanon and Rabbi Elazar seem to agree with the idea that once an item has been used on the Mizbeach, meaning once it's been used for its designated sacrificial purpose, it is no longer subject to the laws of Mi'ila. Okay, so Gemara goes weiter. Amar Reish Lakish, Bizman Sheminaskin Yayin Agabi Mizbeach, when they would pour the wine on the Mizbeach, Pokekin Es HaShisin, they would plug up the Shisin. I was like, this works better according to the approach of Rashi, who understands that the bowls flow onto the Mizbeach. So if you can imagine the scene, the bowl, you pour the wine into the bowls flow onto the Mizbeach. And remember, the Shisin, the drain, is really on the Mizbeach itself. So now, Reish Lakish is saying, when they would pour the wine on the Mizbeach, they would plug up the drains. In other words, what did they want? They wanted the wine to pool on the Mizbeach. Why? The Kaimah Shene'emar, Bakodesh, Hasech Nesech Shechar LaHashem, because they wanted to fulfill the pasuk of literally pour in the Kodesh, or pour in the Kodesh, a pouring of intoxicating beverage for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, what does that mean? My mashma, what does this pasuk have to do with this practice? Amar Papa, because the following Shechar, Lashon Shtia, Lashon Tzvia, Lashon Shichrus. So Rav Papa says that Shechar can mean many different things. Shechar can mean to drink, Shechar can mean to be sated, and Shechar can mean to become inebriated. Amar Rav Papa, Shema Mina, so we'll say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Shechar, Lashon Shichrus, V'simcha Unesicha. So Amar Rav Papa, Shema Mina, Kisava Inish, Chamra, Migrone Savya. We'll say, it's very interesting. Migronia Savya. So Rav Papa says, you see from here that what? Remember, we know it's supposed to say wine has the ability to satiate the individual. We know that because we saw it in Arei Pesachim. That's why, again, the Mishnah in Arei Pesachim says that you're not permitted to drink wine. Mina mincha ulemala. Why? Because he wants you to have an appetite for the Seder. And wine has the ability to satiate an individual just like food. So here's what's interesting. It says Rav Papa. So we'll say, what's the goal over here? So before we go on to this. So what the Gemara is saying is like this. Bakodesh haseich. Nesech Shechar LaHashem. So Shechar, one of the definitions is Sviya, is to be sated. So the Gemara says, like this, when you pour the wine on the Mizbeach, we want the Mizbeach to be sated. How does the Mizbeach look sated? When what? When the wine pools at the top of the Mizbeach. That looks like the Mizbeach is being satiated from this abundance of wine. And Rav Papa says, he sees something very interesting from here. That how, if you want to become satiated from your wine, how does that happen? Migrone. Migrone, I will say, look at Rashi, means what? Migrone sava, ayede sheshoseu, the wine connoisseurs are not going to like this. Ayede sheshoseu, biligimos gasos. You should take big gulps of wine. The garon male, humaspia. That's how you, if you want to become sated from wine, it takes big gulps. Because apparently part of the satiation process is not necessarily how much wine you have in your stomach, but it's the experience in the throat as well. So by taking large gulps of wine, that allows one to become a little bit sated, more sated, I should say. Below ayyadei shasiyah meruba, not through drinking a lot, shemachnisin harbeyayim meyav. So wine apparently satiates with large gulps and not with small sips. Even though with small sips, you may end up having more wine in your stomach. Ideally, gimos tacos. Ve'ino ke'ochlin shesoveh shalayim pamilakeh. So we'll say, apparently wine is different than food. When it comes to food, the ability for food to satiate depends on what? At the end of the day, how much food you have in your stomach. When it comes to wine, Rav Papa says that lamaisa, it's about the gulps. The bigger the gulp, the more the wine satiates. Amar Rava, so Rava said, therefore, Tzurba Mirabanan, Delona Fishi Lachamra. Therefore, Rava says, important, this is practical as well, that if you have a Talmud Chacham who did not have a lot of wine, I will say, why do they say a Talmud Chacham who didn't have a lot of wine? Why about anybody that has a lot of wine? Because the assumption is that the Talmud Chacham didn't have a lot of money. And therefore, again, Lemaisa, he had a limited amount of wine. So therefore, Talmud Chacham who has a little bit of wine but wants to maximize the impact of his wine. And when I say the impact, I mean the satiating ability of his wine. What should he do? Ligma gimua gimui rava. Excuse me. Ligma gimui. He should take big gulps. Take big gulps, and that'll increase the satiating capacity of his wine. Rava akasa de berchasa agma gimui. Rava, when he would say on a kosher bracha can mean anything. Kosher bracha could mean kiddush. Kosher bracha could mean birkas hamazon. It could mean avdala. Whenever he was making some type of bracha over a cup of wine, he would always take big gulps. Always take big gulps. Dorash Rava. Rava said, "My dichsev." What's the meaning of the pasuk? "My yafu pa'mayich bana olin bas nediv." What's the meaning of the pasuk in Shira Shirim? How beautiful are your steps, bana olim, in your sandals, bas nediv, daughter of the noble one. Mayafu pamosein shayisrael b'shar sh'olim l'regel. We'll say it's so beautiful. How beautiful were the steps of the Jewish people when we were all l'regel, right? Jews coming from all directions. So how beautiful were those steps? Bas nediv. What does it mean that we are the daughter of the prince? Bito shel Avram Avinu. We are the children of Avram Avinu. Shenikra nediv, who is called the prince. Shenemar nedive amim ne'asafu. Am Elohe Avram, because the pasuk says literally the princes of the nations were gathered, or the noblemen of the nations were gathered. Am Elohe Avram, the nation of the God of Avraham. So the Gemara says Elohe Avram v'lo Elokei Yitzchok v'Yakov. What? Only the God of Avraham, not of Yitzchok and Yaakov. Elokei Avram shahaya tchila legerim. But rather, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is often identified as the God of Avraham, because again, Avram was the beginning of Gerim. Avram was the first convert. Rashi says, Tchila Gerim, Benedivas Libo, Benedivas Libo Leiskaya. Avram was the first who, from his own volition, of his own accord, came and joined the fold of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tana Debei Rav Anan. So in the Shiva Rav Anan, they asked the following, they dashed in the following idea. Ma'ed Chsev, what's the meaning of the pasuk? Also, we spoke about this before. Chamuse Yerechech. So Chamuke Yerechech, excuse me. So remember again, I will say this is from Shira Shemir. Chamuke Yerechech, Kimo Chaloi Maasei Be'amon. So we translated Chamuke beforehand as concealed. Chamuke Yerechech could also mean the roundness. So the roundness of your flanks, the concealed flanks, the Gemara says, Lama Nimshul Divrei Torah Kiyarech. Why is it that Divrei Torah are considered to be like a yerech? Now, we'll say the yerech, the flank of an animal, is like the thigh of a person. So yerech, just for illustration, like the thigh. So why is it that words of Torah are compared to the thigh? Lomar lacha, my yerech b'seser. Just like the thigh is something that is normally covered. Af Divrei Torah b'seser. So too, Rabosai, so too, Divrei Torah should also be hidden. I will say, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Chamuke Yerechayich, Hanistern Kiyerech, Shekavar HaTorah B'tzina. Rabbi Osai, Kavar HaTorah is to go ahead and learn Torah privately. V'lo lihios yoshev b'shona v'gova shalir. You shouldn't sit and learn in public view in the highest point in the city. V'lo l'shanos l'talmidav b'shuk. And don't go ahead and give shir in the middle of the marketplace. So Torah should be done. Torah requires modesty. Torah requires humility. Just like the thigh requires modesty and therefore is covered, so too Torah requires modesty as well. So the Gemara says, "V'ahenu da'am Rabbi Lazar ma'it chsev higid l'cha adam matov u'ma Hashem darish m'char." Well, it's a very beautiful Gemara, and this is what Rabbi Lazar said. This is what Rabbi Lazar meant when he said the following. When the pasuk tells us, this is from Micha, "Higid l'cha adam matov." I'm going to tell you, man, what is good. U'ma Hashem darish m'char. And what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want? What does God want from you? God wants you in the following. Kim asos mishpat, you should do justice. Va'avas chesed, you should love chesed. Rabbi says, it's a very profound Gemara. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from us? Number one, to be just people. Be just people. Be an honest individual. Be a just person. Next, love chesed. Don't just do chesed. Love chesed. V'hatznea leches im Hashem Elokecha. And be modest. Literally, atznea leches. Literally means conceal, like tsanua, conceal, tsina, private, conceal your goings. Conceal your goings. Be modest with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Gemara dashes this. Asos mishpat, zehadin. What does it mean to do justice? Literally, it means justice. It means, by the way, it means two things. It means make sure that you do your part in establishing a just society, and make sure as an individual, you are a just and upright individual. Next, Avas chesed, what does it mean to love chesed? Zu gemilas chasodim. Rabbi will say, so be a person who engages in chesed. Be a person who engages in gemilas chasodim. Meaning that Rabbi will say, justice is the basic cornerstone ultimately for establishing a proper personality and a proper society. Gemilas chasodim means going out of my way for others. V'atzne aleches im elokecha. And what does it mean to be modest with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Zu it's very interesting. This refers to literally taking out the dead to be buried and taking out the kala or bringing the kala into the chuppah. Now, what does this mean? Take a look at Rashi. Because I was saying both of these things, taking out the dead to be buried, as well as achnasas kala, the pasuk uses the lashon of leches, of going. So the Gemara says, because what does the pasuk say? Tov leleches al beis eval mi leches al beis mishta. Af sham tzarech hatznea lisol b'mida noa v'lesmoach b'mida noa v'lo lehagia lekalas rosh ba'atzmo v'yish omrim tzarech levazes lo tzas hameis ani olach nasas kala aniyo yaseh b'tzina. The Gemara says, it's very profound. What does it mean that a person has to be modest for weddings and for funerals? You know what Rashi's saying? It's about saying a person always has to be measured. A person is never supposed to lose themselves in the moment. So if you're at a levaya, you know, sometimes you see people who are just totally overtaken by grief. The truth is, the Jew has to be measured, even in times of grief. The Jew has to be measured. There is a way to grieve, and a way to grieve means controlling your emotions. At a chasana, sometimes you see people, you know, again, mostly, you know, there's a very fine line between simchas chasam v'kala and absolute objective stupidity. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it becomes absolute objective stupidity. There's way to misamech chasam v'kala, but it has to be done, again, at Sne Aleches, with a sense of modesty. So again, both when you take out the dead, be controlled. Again, I will say, obviously we grieve. We're very emotional people. We allow for the showing of each of emotions, but even emotion must be kept, must be limited, must be measured by some degree of tznius. Simcha is beautiful, but make sure that simcha remains, again, within the boundary of what's appropriate behavior as well. He goes on, Balot Dvaram Kavachomer, and this is Kavachomer, Umad Dvaram Shadarkan La'asol Sam Befarhasya. Then I both say, remember, burying the dead and marrying off a kala are both very public events. And yet, Amra Torah, Hatzne Alechas, and yet what? The Torah says to be modest. Then I both say, if the Torah is telling me to be modest when it comes to public events, then what? Dvarim Shadarkan La'asosa Betzina Alechas Kama Vakama. All the more so what? All the more so, again, how I have to be private, or not private, I have to be modest with private events. So again, remember, if Chazal are telling me that I have to be modest with public events, remember, public events, by definition, one can make the argument, are already outside the realm of tznius. Why? Because you're in the public view. But if I'm obligated to still be quote-unquote tsanua, even with public events, then all the more so, again, private events as well. Rabosa, the private events over here that it's also referring to, look at Rashi. Dvarim shadarkan lasosa b'tzina, kigon tzedaka, hanitenes la'ani v'seser, shein tzarech la'odia l'shum adam ma she'enki b'meis v'kala, l'fi sh'achir mis'askin bohen, v'yodin ha'yitzia, m'shal mi, v'haynu damar esrobosa, so for Rashi, for example, tzedaka. So tzedaka is something that I could do privately. So again, if achnasas kala and hotzas ha'meis are things that are public but require tznius, all the more so what tzedaka, which is something done privately, also requires tznius. And of course, by the way, it applies to Talmud Torah as well. I will say again, when it says Talmud Torah is done with tznius, that a person should also be very careful to be modest about one's spiritual accomplishments, that even though one may be very proud of what it is that they've accomplished, one must make sure to do it within a modicum of tznius. Amre Belazer, what's a beautiful Gemara? Godol ha'oset tzedakah, yosem mikalak harbanos. A beautiful Gemara. Greater is one who gives tzedakah than one who brings all of the karbanos. Shneemar, asei tzedakah u'mishpat, nivchar la'ashem izavach, because the pasuk says in Mishlei that one who does tzedakah and mishpat, one who gives charity and does justice, and I will say, by the way to interpret that pasuk is that charity is justice. I will say it's important to understand, people think that when they give tzedakah, they're doing such an incredible chesed. Understand, it's not chesed, it's mishpat. Some people have and some people don't. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you wealth, an incredible bracha, then it's mishpat to give. It's not just you're being nice, you're being generous, you're such a great guy, because that makes it sound like you have like a choice. And your choice is, I could keep it for myself or I could share it with others. It's not a choice. If the Ribono Shel Olam gave it to you, it means that your mandate is to share it with others. So to give tzedakah by itself is the mishpat. That is the din. That is the justice. That is what's required of the person who has the material wealth. Nivchar LaHashem is more chosen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu mizevach. So the pasuk clearly says that giving tzedakah is even better than offering karbanos. Ramar Belazer, Gidola Gemilas Chasadim Yosrim Yat Tzedakah. Belazer says chesed is even greater than tzedakah. And Belazer is very profound. Because what? If giving tzedakah is greater than giving karbanos, and now what we're saying is what gemilas chasadim is even greater than tzedakah. Incredible. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, quoting from Hosea, ziru lachem litzedakah, literally seed for yourself for tzedakah, kitzru lifi chesed, and harvest or reap in accordance with your chesed. Now, what does that mean? Im adam zorea safek ochvel safek in ochal. I will say, here's the chaf. When you plant something, there's a safek. What's the safek? Is it going to grow? Is it not going to grow? So when you plant something, it's a safek. However, kotzer vade ochal. I will say, when you reap, what does that indicate? There's already crops there, and therefore you know you're going to have something to eat. So this is amazing. Tzedakah is called an act of planting. Gemilas chasadim is called an act of reaping. So you see, tzedakah is great, but lamaisa again, is a tzedakah going to help? Is it going to do something? Is the person going to get back on their feet? Who knows? You never know what's going to happen. But gemilas chasadim, mamish, is direct. You know that you have the ability to convey chesed upon an individual. That's money in the bank. That's wheat in the hand. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, Bamra Lazar, in stakam mishtaleves alafi chesed shabbat. It's a process, beautiful Gemara. Rabbi Lazar says that tzedakah literally is only reckoned in accordance with the chesed that is present in it. Look at Rashi. Listen to this. That the real measure of tzedakah is how much chesed you intertwine with your tzedakah. What does it mean on both sides? You can give someone tzedakah, but there's no chesed in that. So I give somebody money, okay, that's tzedakah. So Rashi says, for example, but if I give someone, instead of money, I give him food. So what does that do to Rabbosai? I know the person doesn't have food. So I can give him money, and what happens? That means he has to go to the store, he has to get the food. Or what? I can give him the food directly. For me, it's a greater tircha. For me, it's a greater exertion, but for him, it gives him more immediate benefit. Or I know that someone is struggling, and what happens? Rashi's example is wheat is now cheap, so he doesn't have money. I know that if I give him money now, he has food right now. But if I give him money now, he could buy wheat at a lower price, which will then secure him for the future. That's an act of chesed along with tzedakah. The true measure of tzedakah is not in the amount of money you give. The true measure of tzedakah is how much chesed is intertwined, is laced into that act of tzedakah. How much chesed is intertwined with that act of tzedakah. Such a beautiful concept that it's not just enough to give when you're giving tzedakah, but rather you have to see how can I maximize the impact of chesed along with when I give. You see, we often assume that the chesed is limited to the act of giving. No, you can give in a way that amplifies the chesed. Such a beautiful idea. Shana emar, ziru lachem letzedakah, v'kitzru lefi chesed. Tan Rabbanon, b'shlosha dvarim, gedolu gemilas chesed yosem min tzedakah. There are three ways in which chesed is even greater than charity, than tzedakah. How so? Tzedakah v'mamono, gemilas chesed v'in b'gufa v'mein mamon. Because we both say, tzedakah is only with your money, but you could perform acts of gemilas chasadim, charitable kindness, both with your money as well as with your body, with your physical self. Tzedakah l'aniyim. Furthermore, charity can only be performed as a mitzvah to the poor. Gemilas chasadim l'aniyim bein ashirim. However, chesed can be done both for the poor as well as for the rich. Tzedakah l'chayim. Rabbi said you can only give charity to the living. Gemilas chasadim bein l'chayim bein l'mesim. But chesed can be done for the living and for the dead. But Amar Belazar, Kala Ose Tzedakah Mishpat, whoever does Tzedakah and Mishpat, Rabbi Ose, whoever gives Tzedakah and also does Mishpat, again, whether like we said before, that the Tzedakah itself is an actualization of the Mishpat, or ultimately, again, a person lives a life in which they try to establish truth and Mishpat, Ki'ilu Milei Kala Olam Chesed. They fill the entire world with chesed. Shene emar, ohev tzedaka u'mishpat, chesed Hashem mala haaretz. Shema tomar, kol haba likvot kofei. So both of you listen to this. Maybe you'll say that whoever wants to reach this level can reach this level. Look at Rashi. Shema kol haba likvot, v'la'asos tzedaka v'chesed, kofei u'maspikin u'mamtzien lo anoshim u'ganam l'chach. Maybe you'll see like this. Maybe you'll say that Lamaisa, whoever wants to reach this high level of being a person who does give tzedakah and does mishpat, that ultimately again they're going to immediately fill the world with chesed. Tamulomar, mayakar chastecho elokim. No, because what does it mean? It says, how precious is your chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I will say, what the Gemara is understanding from that pasuk is that apparently it's not easy for people to reach that level of tzedakah and mishpat. It's not easy to reach that level of filling the world with the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yochol av yirei shamayim kim. So I might have thought that even if someone has yira shamayim, it will be difficult for them to reach that level. Talmud lomar, v'chesed Hashem me'olam v'ad olam al yireyav. Therefore, the pasuk says that the kindness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is from this world to the next on those who fear Him. So we'll say, what do we see? We see what the Gemara is trying to prove is, we'll say, giving tzedakah is not enough. If you want your tzedakah to really impact the world, if you want to impact the world through your tzedakah, through your mishpat, what do you need? You need yiras Hashem also. Because tzedakah that is given by someone who is a yorei Hashem will be a more impactful chesed, more impactful tzedakah. A tzedakah and mishpat carried out by someone who possesses true values of yiras Hashem, that's the kind of tzedakah and mishpat that will indeed fill the entire world with chesed. Amar Rabbi Chaim bar Papa, Kol Adam Sheyesh Alav Chena. We'll say, is there another very beautiful Gemara, but this will have to stop. Amar Rabbi Chaim bar Papa, Kol Adam Sheyesh Alav Chena. We'll say, any person who has upon him Chen. We'll say, Chen is one of those difficult words to translate. Chen literally means favor. The truth is, we can't translate as much as you know who it is. There are certain people that just have a certain Chen about them. They have a pleasantness about them. So any person who has a Chen about them, Biyadua shu yorei shamayim. I will say that is a telltale sign that a person who possesses chayim is indeed someone who is a yorei shamayim. Shene emar, because the pasuk says, Chesed Hashem me'olam v'ad olam al yireyav. Literally, the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is from this world to the next on those who fear. So I will say, the way the Gemara is understanding in this now is that the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu from this world to the next is on your, what does it mean the chesed of Hashem? How does the chesed of Hashem manifest itself on the individual? Through chen. Through chen. When a person possesses this life pleasantness, this life chen, a person is more of a mabriyah. So we'll say, you know, one of the most important things in life, really, one of the most important things in life, is not how much Torah you learn. It's not many mitzvot you do. One of the most important things is you have to be able to get along with people. You have to be able to coexist with others. You have to be the kind of person who, in the words of Chazal, is mu'urav im abrios. Someone who people say, wow, it's a nice guy. It's a pleasant individual. I like being in his company. The Ribono shel Olam does not like abrasive people, nor do we like abrasive people. So what we're saying over here, you want to know if somebody really has the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on him? You want to know if someone is a true Yirei Hashem? Chen. The person has chen, that's a sure sign that the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu rests upon the shoulders of such an individual. I'll say, we'll pick up over here tomorrow. Tamar Rebbe Lazer.